The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
On the Sunday morning when this sermon was preached, the electricity was off due to a storm. In many churches, this would have hindered the worship, but not in a Primitive Baptist church. Here at Zion Church, we were able to continue right along without interruption because we adhere to the simplicity of the first century form of worship. Here at Zion, we strive to maintain the simplicity that is in Christ. Join us as we begin to learn about the simple worship through the preaching of the simple gospel with the simple message that one day Christ is coming again to take us home.
Comfort my people, Savior God.
Of God, who hath taught us.
This morning I want to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I suppose because the power was off, I guess this is why the Lord has drawn my mind out to these verses. But let me say this. Here at Zion Church, we worship simply. And there's no need for all the electricity. We could worship inside, we could worship outside, we could worship at home, we could worship wherever we are, because the building and the lights are not the church. The pews are not the church. In fact, I suspect strongly that anybody who came to our church from the first century would not recognize the environment in which we're sitting. They certainly wouldn't know about running water and inside bathrooms. But I trust and pray that if they came, if the Apostle Paul or someone of that era would come, be transported to our time and come walking in the doors of Zion Church, that they would recognize the worship. They would recognize the spirit that's here. And that's our goal. That's what we want to see. So I want you to look at verse chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now listen to verse 4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. This morning I want to preach to you about the simplicity that's in Jesus. The simplicity that's in Jesus. The word simplicity just means singleness. It's like single focus. I know our lives are complicated. My life is so complicated sometimes that I sit down at night and I don't know whether I'm getting ready to go to bed or getting ready to get up. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. And I know you know what I'm talking about, especially those who are still working, those who still have jobs, those who are still out there that are not retired. And of course, then I talk to my retired friends, like Brother Glennon over here, who's retired and can just sit down and rest and relax and do nothing. And I find out he's busier than I am. Retirement's not all it's cracked up to be. I was talking to a friend of mine this past week who had retired and then gone back to work and then retired and gone back to work and then retired, but is working harder now than they were when they were working. And I said, brother, you've been successful at everything you've done in life except retirement. That's the only thing you failed at is retirement. But our lives are complicated. The world is complicated. We've had a great weekend. It's been wonderful, but I've been having to keep in mind I've got to be here at this time and there at this other time, and I've got so many things I'm juggling. It's like spinning tops. Now, some of us, my wife Sherry accuses me of just thriving on that. I might say that there's been a time when in my life when I really did thrive on that. I like the busier I was, the happier I was, okay? I've got a son that's a little bit like me, like that. But I've got also a couple other children that aren't like that. And my wife is not like that. One thing, you know, she wants to focus on. And I'll tell you, the older I get, the more I like that idea too. But our lives are complicated. But beloved, when we come to the church of the living God, when we come to the Word of God, when we come to the message of God, it ought not be complicated. And praise God, it isn't. It isn't complicated. Now, you know, sometimes people ask, you're primitive Baptist. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we don't have electricity. We didn't this morning, but it doesn't, you know, that's not normal for us. It doesn't mean we don't have indoor bathrooms, you know. But what it means is that we try to go back to the original. Primitive means first or original or basics. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want us to go back to the basics. Back to the basics. And let's look at the simplicity that is in Christ. First of all, we have a simple worship. We have a simple worship. You know, sometimes people will talk about revival. They'll talk about the need for revival. And beloved, we're always in need of revival. We've been needing revival here. We needed revival here at this church. This church needed to revive. And listen, we've experienced revival here. We've experienced going from one member, Aunt Loreen, to 50-something members and having services twice on Sunday instead of once every other month. We've experienced revival here. Praise God for it. But we need to have continual revival. The revival doesn't end just because we've started adding a few members to the church. Beloved, we need to continue to pray for revival. You say, well, how did you do it, Brother Chris? How did Zion Church come back? How should we be concerned about what we need to do in order to see revival? Well, it's really pretty simple. If you go all the way back to the very first church service where the Spirit of God came upon the church on the day of Pentecost, you go back to Acts chapter 2, and you see in Acts chapter 2 that on that day, you remember Jesus said, you tarry in Jerusalem, you wait here in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And what he's talking about there is not the things that sometimes people get mixed up on in this world today, but it's simply an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's the infusion of the Holy Spirit into the church. You know, the idea that you have here is that if you look at Acts chapter 1 and the end of Luke, also the end of the Gospels, each Gospel, you'll find that the church of God is like, I always think about that song, the old ship of Zion, okay? Sometimes we call the church the old ship of Zion. And it's as if the old ship of Zion is sitting in the harbor with its sails unfurled, ready to go. The church is ready to go. But Jesus said, don't go yet. Now, the church was already the church. The church didn't become the church on the day of Pentecost. He's already declared it back there in Matthew chapter 15 when he said, upon this rock, and it wasn't Peter, by the way, it was the revelation from God to man that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so he say, I have a church, but now he says, you church, sit here and wait till the power from on high comes. And what that power was is simply the infusion of the Holy Ghost in a special way for the church. And there were special gifts in the apostolic church age. I understand that. Speaking in tongues, prophecies, that sort of thing. But beloved, the Spirit is still here today. I'll tell you this morning that if I was standing up here before you, you know I make my living talking. You know, I've made speeches. I've been able to make speeches in my life. I could probably get up here and make a speech to you. But I could not preach to you if there weren't the power of the Holy Ghost involved. I had a sermon prepared this morning. I had all kind of thoughts in my head and notes to think about and even an outline going here that I was ready to preach and I knew exactly what I wanted to preach on. And when I get here, the Lord has changed my mind completely. And sometimes I struggle with that. Preachers pray for you, preacher, because sometimes we have two or three thoughts in our minds and we don't know exactly where to go. We need the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our preaching. He tells them over in, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians, he said, the gospel came in power in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. You know, that's something different than making a speech. I don't care how great an orator you are, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't preach. So you see, here on the day of Pentecost, God said, you wait, and it's like the old ship of Zion is sitting there in the harbor with the sails unfurled, waiting on the wind of the Spirit of God to propel it. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And after Peter preached, and these people were pricked in their hearts, they weren't cut to the heart. I can preach and cut you to the heart, but only the Holy Spirit can prick you in the heart. It says they were pricked in the heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, quickly there, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but it says, for the remission of sins. Is that in order to get sins remitted? No, Jesus Christ has already died and remitted the sins. The remission of sins has already occurred. But it's because of the remission of sins. On account of, back over in Luke chapter 5, you go over there and look sometime and read about those lepers that were healed. And back over in Luke, it tells us that after they were healed, Jesus said, you go make the right sacrifices for your healing. Well, wait a minute, they were already healed. They were already healed, right? So he's got to go make sacrifices in order to be healed? No, he's been healed, but on account of him having been healed, he needed to go do that. Beloved, on account of your sins having been remitted, you need to be repent and be baptized. That's what Peter is telling them here. And then he talks about some things there, but here's what I want to get to. Verse 42. Do you want to know the recipe for revival? You want to know the recipe for revival in the churches of God, in this nation even? Listen to this. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I've told you this story before, and I'm not being ugly about this because the man was a nice man, very sincere when he came to me. But it's been many, many years ago, probably 15 or 20 years ago. I was preaching at a church. It wasn't a Primitive Baptist church. It was before I came to the Primitive Baptist. And a gentleman approached me. He said, "Preacher, I have a degree from the seminary in church growth, and I'd be glad to sit down and go through a course with you about how to do that." Now listen, I don't mean, as I said, he was very sincere, and I appreciate that very much, but I also knew that he didn't believe the scripture like I believe it to teach. And I just thanked him. I said, "Sir, I appreciate that. I'll give you a call sometime if I need you." But you see, I just want you to understand, we don't need a course in church growth. We just need to stay the course that God has given us in his word. And it's simple. It's not complicated. It's not hard. It wouldn't take a semester for me to learn this. There's four things here that we as a church need to do in order to experience and continue to experience revival. That is to, first of all, continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We're going to come to that in just a minute, because the simplicity that's in Christ not only involves simple worship, it involves a simple message. It's very simple, okay? The apostles' doctrine, what we have here in the Word of God, you cannot experience revival. I don't care how good you feel. I'm thankful for the emotional aspect of religion. I'm thankful that I feel something here this morning. I wouldn't give you a dime for a religion you can't feel. Brother Ricky Harcroft shared that with me more than once from this pulpit. He said that many times. I wouldn't give you a dime for a religion you can't feel. But beloved, it's not about your feelings, because your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says. In other words, your heart will lead you astray. How many times have we seen people whose hearts and emotions and feelings have led them astray? Out into this world, into a counterfeit religion, into a counterfeit culture, into a counterfeit comfort. Beloved, your feelings will lead you astray. I like to feel good about church and about what the Bible says, but there's some things I read in the scripture that don't make me feel good. When the Bible teaches me that I have to mortify the deeds of the flesh, I don't like that. That doesn't make me feel good. You're telling me I have to be more patient? Have to be more kind, have to be sweeter to my wife, kinder. You know, I work hard. I come in. I ought to be pampered, right? I'm the one that ought to be, they ought to look to me. That's the way, and don't we all get that way? Aren't we all self-focused? Don't we all think it's all about us? But when I read in the scripture that it ain't about you or it ain't about me, I don't like that. It doesn't make me feel good. When I get up on Sunday morning and the power's out, I feel a whole lot more like staying home than coming to church. And I get that there's times when things get in the way. I understand that. I'm not condemning the people that weren't able to come this morning. There was a lot of damage and a lot of things that had to be fixed and things, work has to be done. The ox gets in the ditch, you know, from time to time. But it's a whole lot easier not to come to church than it is to go to church. My feelings lead me to want to not come to church. But you see, we got to continue in the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and the more often as you see the day approaching. I read about some groups, cults you may call them, that decide that the Lord's about to come back, and they close up shop and they move off to a hillside and they quit doing anything and they just kind of huddle together waiting on the Lord to come back. Well, beloved, we ought to be waiting on the Lord to come back. We're going to talk about that in a minute too, but we need to be working and we need to be striving and laboring in the kingdom of God. In the meantime, we need to be in church. We need to be together. We need to be continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. and fellowship. Did you know that fellowship is one of the key aspects of the kingdom of God on earth? And when I say the kingdom of God on earth, you know I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the visible aspect of the kingdom of God. There's this sense in which every elect child of God everywhere is a member of the kingdom of God, and one day we'll be together in heaven. But that will not happen here. And when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God in the Gospels, and when I say it from the pulpit, I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about what we're doing here and now this morning. This is the visible aspect of the kingdom of God. And fellowship is key. If we don't get together, if we don't have times of, first of all, being together in the worship service, but also other times, you know, we have a fellowship meal about twice a month. We try to get together when we can. But we also have times like this weekend when we get together and we see each other. You know, there's nothing that thrills me more than seeing somebody from our church out there in the world. I'm gonna pick on Brother Chad. I bought a Toyota vehicle over there. And he works over there in the service department. And you know, I look forward to going over there to getting my car worked on, to get my oil changed, because I get to see Brother Chad. I get to see you out here wherever we run into each other. I run into Brother Glendon over at the fire station sometimes, or different places. And it's fellowship, beloved, that helps to propel the kingdom of God. And in breaking of bread, now that's the communion service, certainly, but it also might be these fellowship meals as well. You know, Brother Tim, my brother, says that the theme song, the motto of the Primitive Baptist is, we meet, we eat. We meet, we eat. I like that motto. You can look at me and tell I like that motto. But breaking of bread particularly is talking about the communion service. We do that once a year. We probably ought to do it more often, but we do it at least once a year, because that is a representation and enactment of the gospel message. You know, when we set the unleavened bread and the wine out here on the table, that represents the body and the blood of Christ. There's nothing else on the table. There's no Bible tracts. There's no sermons. There's no additions of men out there on the table. It's simply and purely the blood, the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. And that is all our hope. That is all we have. And it says, and in prayers. I want to tell you, beloved, a reviving church is a praying church. A church that is going to experience revival must be a praying church. What do you think, Aunt Lorene? I had a thought come up one day. Said, I think we'll just see what we can do over here. You know, we'll roll the dice and see what happens. No. She and my brother, she and others, were in constant prayer for many months before things began to come back. And I'm not lifting her up. She knows that. We're all sinners, but praise God for faithful sinners. People who are sinners but yet are faithful in prayer. See, and beloved, I say all this to say this. There's a lot of things out in the religious world today that are promoted as things that will cause revival to happen. And I'm not putting, I know people are sincere about it. They're doing, so many are doing the best they can. But beloved, all we need for revival is the simple practice of the Word of God. You know, I'm so sorry that the power was out, and I'm so glad it's back on. But that wasn't going to stop us worshiping this morning. We don't have any need for lights or sound or cameras or smoke screens or anything like that, beloved. We just need the preaching and the praying and the singing that we did this morning and that we do every Sunday morning and Sunday night. It's a simple worship.
We're going to pause the message here for now, but we want you to join us again tomorrow, where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.